Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Folks, my name is Matt Baum. You're probably going to recognize me from the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. And as usual, I got my host, Joe Patrick, here. But Joe Patrick got so sick of sitting in the same room with me that once again, he's live via satellite or internet or via remote.
Hey, somebody decided it was more important to drink beers than record a podcast with their co-host.
Oh, says the guy who said, hey, I gotta go. I'm already late.
And play D&D. And play D&D like we normally do.
You were the one that had to go. And you guys screwed me out of D&D as well, which is sad. But it's a whole nother story. So,
you screwed yourself.
We're not going to get into it here. What we're going to get into now is the answer of the week. It works like this every week. My buddy Joe Patrick puts the question of the week up on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You guys can call us at 402-819-4894 on the Ziggurat hotline. Or you can send us an MP3 like several of you did to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. All we ask is that you put question of the week or answer of the week in the subject. You know who knows how to do that? Randy Andrews. He was the first one this week. After taking some smack for being late last week, he was the first one. But before we get to it, I got to know what we asked these guys.
I thought you were just going to let Randy recap it.
Nope. We could. Like, Randy's good at that.
He does.
Let's let Randy recap it this week. Let's go for it.
Let's see if he even does it.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, what are your favorite and least favorite examples of a superhero becoming a supervillain? Well, I've got to say that one of my favorite examples is with Omni-Man from Invincible. See, Omni-Man started out as a hero on Earth. He even started a family with a wife and child. And when Mark, his son, became the hero Invincible, he was really excited to work alongside his father. And then it was revealed to him that his father was just a herald for the conquering race of his alien being heritage. So with Omni-Man betraying Invincible, they had an all-out fight. And they had beaten each other to a pulp to where it left Invincible feeling very betrayed by his own father. I think the worst example that I could think of is Magneto. We know Magneto has went back and forth between being a hero and being a villain. But seriously, we can honestly come down to the mere fact that Magneto will always be a villain. He will never completely turn good. So that's it for this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. And this week, my music is from Iron Man 3, The Mandarin. And check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com. And see you in a week. Bye for now.
Randy, recapping the question just as we thought he would. And this week, like you said, it's best example of a hero turned villain and worst example of a hero turned villain. Invincible. That's a real solid call.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I remember being floored when it was revealed.
Did not see that.
Spoilers. Obviously, spoilers.
Yeah, there's going to be some spoilers in this one, folks.
If you've never read Invincible.
And Magneto. He's gone from good to bad so many times, I can't even keep track of whether or not he's a good guy or a bad guy.
That's fair, I suppose.
I suppose.
I would not consider him a hero turned to villain. But he is a hero turned, or he is a villain turned less of a villain.
Or villain turned hero turned villain turned less of a villain. You know, it's been kind of weird.
I guess it depends on your politics.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to follow.
We can both agree that Magneto's character arc has been complicated, to say the least.
Complicated, to say the least, indeed. I do kind of love him.
Yeah, me too.
I love Magneto.
Who doesn't?
Randy.
Thanks, as always, for the call, and thanks for recapping the question so that I didn't have to.
No, it's good. We appreciate that. If you call in first every week, we won't have to do part of this job anymore. It's kind of awesome. Guess what, Joe?
What?
We got a call from a girl.
We did?
Hi, Joe and Matt. This is Princess Ashley calling with my answer to the question of the week. Star of the new hit web series, The Red Shirt Diaries, which you can find on www.theredshirtdiaries.com or Joe and Matt's Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, here's the problem. Can't understand her at all. Like, I'm not getting anything in the audio. We had a little technical issue with Princess Ashley, so we're going to give her some, you know, time to try and call us back. We don't normally make exceptions like this, but we haven't been getting calls from girls lately, so we're going to do it this time.
make exceptions.
Move right along. Ryan Mount, always good with the MP3. Mr. Hebrews himself. Let's see what he's got for us.
Hi, this is Ryan Mount, a.k.a. Hebrews on the Forums, calling in with my answer of the week. Villainous Heroes was it this week, and I'll start with my least favorite, and that is Wonder Man. Anytime they make him not the Hollywood hotshot actor Simon Williams, I'm just not that interested. They did it for Avengers Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon. Bendis also did it in an Avengers annual, and I just can say that it's never been my favorite. Give me the solo movie star Wonder Man anytime. As far as my favorite one goes, I'm going to go with, it's a little bit of perspective, but World War Hulk. In that case, nobody was really the good guy. You had Hulk coming to beat up the Illuminati, and you kind of were rooting for him. But at the same time, you know, you could say that the Illuminati, Reed Richards, all those guys were kind of bad because they did blow up everything that Hulk cares about. It's a fantastic story and it really stuck out to me and I just reread it and the ending's not great, but it was, if you were reading from Prelude to Planet Hulk through Planet Hulk and coming down the World War Hulk, I just think it's one of my favorite Hulk stories of all time. And, you know, I think that's where Hulk is the best, when he's not a hero, he's not a villain, he's just the Hulk, kind of a force of nature. And they just got on his wrong side there. So that's my answer, and I look forward to hearing what everyone else got to say. Take care.
I like that answer.
Yeah, I do too. World War Hulk is not my favorite story,
it was a fun story. I think he's right though. It just didn't end well at all.
I do like the idea of the Hulk returning to Earth full of like righteous anger.
Yeah,
and taking it out on Earth's mightiest heroes. That was awesome.
And he was a great bad guy. He was really good like that because he was unstoppable. It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And I totally agree that this thing that Bendis invented in the recent Avengers books about Wonder Man wanting to destroy the Avengers was bull.
Totally weak. It was stupid. It was super weak. That popped up in my thoughts for one of the worst, but I came up with something else.
All right.
You just have to wait and see.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hey, we got Dr. Phil from Israel again. Or should we call him Israel's Dr. Phil? We have America's
from Israel.
Yeah, we have America's Dr. Phil. This is Israel's Dr. Phil.
I think Israel's Dr. Phil is pretty good.
All right. I love it.
Hi, guys. This is Philip from Jerusalem sending in my MP3 answer of the week. I have to admit, I'm not even sure that my answer is legit, but I will give it a shot. April 1997, Thunderbolts number one. One of the greatest number one issues that I have ever read. The Avengers are all gone. And there is a huge void filled by six new kids on the block, six new superheroes. Atlas, Citizen V, Mech 1, Meteorite, Songbird, and Techno. Those guys do some great stuff, help a lot of people, people love them back, only to find out at the very end of the issue, in one of the greatest twists of the comic book history, that all of those guys are actually Baron Zemo's Masters of Evil. Now, of the six superheroes, my favorite one was Mac 1, a.k.a. Abner Jenkins, a.k.a. The Beetle. Abner is really a smart guy. He was a good guy who turned into a villain. and became a superhero again in Thunderbolts number one, then turned villain again after the Avengers came back, then became a superhero again. All in all, a long history of superhero, villain, superhero transformations. And he's actually one of my most favorite Z-listers ever. If I had called a week ago to name my most favorite either villain or superhero Z-lister, it would have been Abdon Jenkins as well. Today, he appears in the Superior Foes of Spider-Man, where he is just a silly, clumsy parole officer, and I really, really like the guy. Okay, guys, that's it. I'll talk to you some other time. Bye.
Okay, he did not give a least favorite?
He did not give a least favorite. He just went with his favorite.
That's fine.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. Dr. Phil makes the call and goes for two, answers last week's question and this week's question. That's totally awesome. He gives
I love it.
His favorite Z-lister, and it just happens to be his favorite villain turned hero in Mach 1 from the Thunderbolts.
I love that answer so much. And honestly, if I did not go with my, I just went with my gut, the first thing that popped into my head for my answer probably should have been the Thunderbolts.
Okay.
So I total props for Israel's Dr. Phil for coming up with that, because
that was awesome.
I love that answer so much. And really, one of the best modern examples of a wait a minute.
Villain turned hero.
That wasn't the question. The question was hero turned villain.
Yeah. Well, he was a villain turned hero and then he went back to a villain, is what he was saying. He's now a villain again in the pages of the Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
No, he's not. He's a parole officer.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were doing hero turned villain. He did villain turned hero.
But you know what? Half of the Thunderbolts actually did go back to being evil.
That's true.
So I'm going to count it.
But he did say, I don't know if my answer counts.
That's fair. You know what? I'm going to say that because half of the Thunderbolts actually did go back to being evil, counts.
Okay. I'm giving it to him as well.
I was just so caught up in that answer.
Yeah, I was too. I was like, that's a great answer. Wait a minute. I don't think that works at all.
That's all right.
But it's a great answer. We liked it.
Phil, thanks for answering all the way from Jerusalem. Always appreciated.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's Chris Smalls calling in my answer of the week. Best heel turn, worst heel turn. Obviously, I got to go with Bad, either a Teen Titans or an X-Men guy. Kind of like the X-Men a little bit more, but I really got sucked into Teen Titans. So I'd have to say best heel turn would be Tara, the whole Judas Contract storyline, how she became a part of the team and you really felt for her and really started to mesh with the other characters, and then there's just the gut punch. So I'll leave that for other people to delve into. If you haven't checked it out, you're missing a real treat. And as far as the worst heel turn, well, I'd have to give that to Fantastic Four. Sue Storm becomes Malice, beats the crap out of She-Hulk, and then Reed Richards just bitch slaps the evil out of her. Was not really a high point in the Fantastic Four story history. That's it. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
So he went with Tara as his favorite?
Tara is his favorite from the Judas Contract.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
You know, I've never read it. I don't know.
Oh, Judas Contract is great.
I heard it was great.
If for no other reason than the very, very creepy implication that Deathstroke and Tara are totally a couple.
What?
And Deathstroke is old and Tara is a teenager.
Ooh. Yikes.
It's gross.
And then Malice. Sue Storm as Malice getting a lot of play in the past few months here.
Yeah, you know what? More people have talked about Malice in the last 3 weeks on this show than the entire world has thought of her in the last 20 years.
At least. Although, and I will say, that was a really stupid storyline, but we did learn that you can cure just about anything with your wife or significant other by hitting them really hard, you know? Just smack them and they'll feel better. Thanks for that, Reed.
Can't get behind that.
It was a terrible storyline. It was so dumb.
But yeah, Terra, classic. I mean, ultimately revealing she was never a hero at all. She was always a spy.
Didn't she become good again later? Or is there a new Terra?
Oh, don't even get me started. The Terra that came back in the 90s was a Terra from an alternate Earth.
Oh, you know what? Stop right there. I'm fine.
Yeah, it's complicated, and we should probably not get into it.
Moving into Donna Troy territory, and that's where things get really weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
All right, we're going to go with Jason Sachs. Jason Sachs, who writes in, he came down off the high from the Seahawks game after they kicked the shit out of my Packers in front of God and everybody on television this Thursday. So, let's listen to your damn MP3, Sachs.
Hi, guys. Jason Sachs here, at Jason Sachs on the Twitter. So, we're all familiar with The Question. He's been a character who's been around for a long time in the DC universe now, but he had an interesting twist. In 1968, Steve Ditko created The Question as kind of an exploration of his moral beliefs. And there's a famous scene in the long, the one full-length Question story that Steve Ditko created, Mysterious Suspense Number 1 from 1968, in which our hero allows an evildoer to drown. He had the power to help his man escape, but he didn't, because, as Ditko said, A is A, evil is evil. Evil does not deserve to survive. It's always been an interesting moment because it's a little bit of a twist for the question of really what makes a hero and a villain a villain. It's not really, you can't really say that he became evil as much as that he just became more morally complex. Among those of us who love Steve Ditko's work, this has turned out to be one of the most debated moments in Ditko's career, and it really is a fascinating moment. Really well worth checking out if you have a chance to look it up. The worst? Well, if I'm thinking about Steve Ditko, I have to think about the worst moment ever in Spider-Man history. Spider-Man 3, douchebag Peter Parker. He's an ass. He's an idiot. He's a pain in the ass. Okay, he may not become evil. No one likes him. No one likes the scenes. It's just bad. It's painful. Oh, it's making me cringe just thinking of it. Thanks, guys. Catch you later. Bye.
So we did The Question.
Yeah.
And we'll call him Gothy Spider Douche.
I don't think anyone can argue that he wasn't a heel in that story.
Maybe not a villain. Definitely.
Certainly a heel turn. So I like that question answer a lot. Though
I didn't know that.
It's a complicated, debate, a complex debate. But yeah, that's a different way of thinking about it. I really like that answer.
I did not know that.
Neither did I.
I thought the question was just always kind of the question.
Well, I've never read any of the original Question stories.
I read a lot of them. I don't remember reading that one, though.
No, the original ones from the 60s?
Yeah, I went back and read a bunch of them. I did, because I liked the character a lot when Doug Mensch was doing it. And I was like, oh, man, I got to read more of this. But I did not read that, so I don't know. It's a good answer, though. I like it. We're learning something.
Hey, nerds. This is Harvey Locust calling in my answer to the question of the week. And this week, we got a twofer, so they're kind of related. I'll start off with the best because you're going to know which one I'm talking about right away. And if I went with the worst first, so the best one, hands down, Dark Phoenix Saga. Got to be one of the great moments in comic book history, even though they've gone and screwed it all up and said it was really Madeline Pryor or whatever. I'm a die artist and I stick to that. I don't care if it was Madeline Pryor or whatever. It's still Dark Phoenix Saga and it's still great and it's still strong. So my least favorite, even though it wasn't like a crappy issue or anything, it was just who it was. So AVX, right? We have the Phoenix Five, why on Earth or in space is Namor one of the Phoenix Five? I have no idea. I was glad that he was the first one to die. It just didn't make any sense to me. I've never really liked Namor. Never really knew a lot about him to begin with, except for that he's a dick most of the time. So I just didn't get why he was there, other than to be the first one to fall. I don't know why he went after Wakanda. That didn't make any sense to me. But then again, I'm not big on the history of the character, so maybe him and Black Panther have a beef that I never knew about or anything. But yeah, there we go. Best and worst. Dark Phoenix and Phoenix Force 5, Namor. Later.
Harvey Locus with the Dark Phoenix. I'm surprised it took that long to get there.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. Like, it was ultimately revealed that it wasn't really Jean Grey. It was the Phoenix itself.
Right, right.
Embodied into human form, blah, blah, blah.
I try and stick with the Mick G continuity. That's sort of, you know, that's my Dark Phoenix saga.
The Brett Ratner.
Oh, pardon me, Brett Ratner. Pardon me.
You're mixing up your terrible directors.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, obviously, the Dark Phoenix saga is probably the most famous example of a hero turning villain. Certainly one of the most highly regarded. So that is a great answer. The Phoenix Five.
I like that you called it the Phoenix Force Five.
Yeah.
That's hot.
AVX was a mixed bag, man.
It was. I kind of liked... I liked the Phoenix Force. You know, I don't feel the story was the best or anything, but I didn't hate it. And Namor was there because he's a mutant. Namor was the first mutant. We learned that a while ago.
Yeah, that's dumb. I really am sick of that whole thing.
Them's the rules, buddy.
I think that it's done, like, almost irreparable damage to Cyclops.
Yes, I don't know how they're going to get him out of this one. I'll say that. But I do have to say, I think Cyclops is more interesting now than he has been in a long time.
Cyclops is, certainly. Cyclops is more interesting now, and all he had to do was stop being Cyclops.
Right.
It's not even the same character. Great answer, Harv. Thanks for getting it in. You missed the deadline, buddy, but you know we can't quit you.
It's true. It's true. We have not, let me see if Princess Ashley said
we did not hear from Princess Ashley, no. I already checked it.
So we'll say Princess Ashley did call us this week. We couldn't understand much what she was saying, but she threw Jason Todd out there. I don't know if it was her best or her worst.
Well, she gave two examples. She gave Jason Todd as her main example, and then she said Hawkeye, who started as a villain and then became a hero.
Okay.
So maybe she just answered both questions.
That could be.
Both versions of the question.
All right. So I'm going to guess she would say Hawkeye's her favorite and Jason Todd was her least favorite.
Remember, she answered a different question. She answered the hero-turned-villain question and the villain-turned-hero question.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Gotcha. Okay.
So, Jason Todd, it was what we got out of the call. Unfortunately, the audio was so bad that all I could really hear was Jason Todd, Red Hood, tunnel sound, static.
Right.
So... Ashley, thank you so much for trying. Unfortunately, the technological gods were not with us this week, but we miss you.
Jason Todd.
Hope to see you back next week.
Let's discuss Jason Todd.
I think that Jason Todd has had a kind of interesting arc. If you can kind of get over the fact that he was resurrected through cosmic punching.
That's true. That is true. It came down to Superboy.
In a title completely unrelated.
Yes, it came down to Superboy beating on the walls of reality, basically.
Yeah.
They brought him back.
But I did, like, I really thought, I got a charge out of it when, at the end of Hush took off his mask and it was Jason Todd. And yeah, it was a fake out, but it kind of opened the door to that idea. And so when he came back for real as the Red Hood, I thought it was super cool. The way they brought him back was really dumb, though.
It was really dumb.
Unfortunately, I think his current adventures are borderline unreadable.
They're crap.
So
it's pretty bad.
I don't follow him anymore. But
he's pretty far from anything that I ever liked about that character now. So talk about our favorite call.
My favorite is Randy Andrews.
Okay.
I thought that the Omni-Man thing becoming evil was a total shock.
Yeah, I think of this list that I'm looking at, that was the most shocking by far.
And it it elevated that book from being just like a normal teen superhero action drama to being must read.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Superhero comics.
It was the moment that that comic changed and you went, okay, this is going to be different than any super stuff you've ever read.
Well, know? And you know, looking back that it was the plan all along. It's just right. That those first 10 issues are just build up to that ultimate betrayal. I loved it. I loved it. Randy gets my favorite.
He gets my favorite too. I like that.
My favorite, least favorite is Wonder Man.
Okay, Wonder Man.
I agree that that is nonsense.
Ryan Mount. And you know what? I agree too. I think of this list, I like the Spidey douche that Jason Sachs brought up. And to be fair, I'm going to go back and read that question series because now I'm curious what that's all about. But yeah, I think the Wonder Man thing was the biggest stinker on this list by far. It's just like, he's just pissed. You know, well, why is he pissed? I don't know, but he is so pissed he wants to murder his friends.
Right.
Really? I've been pretty pissed before.
I hated that transition.
I've gotten mad at you for real solid things. Been like, I am mad at Joe Patrick. It was never like, I'm going to go push his house down on top of him and I hope he fucking dies.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Let's get to us.
You want to go first or you want me to go?
I can go first. I'll do my favorite. You do your favorite. I'll do my least favorite. You do your least favorite. We'll start with favorites.
Deal.
My favorite. And I really had to think about this. And I tried to think of one, not that necessarily I liked him as a hero and I liked him as a villain. I tried to think of one that legitimately I didn't see coming and afterwards sort of realized that person's totally a villain. You know what I mean? It wasn't like the full-on heel change where they turn around and hit their tag team partner with a folding chair for no reason or whatever.
Right.
I'm going to go with Ozymandias from Watchmen. While I read Watchmen, the entire time, I was pretty sure he was a good guy, it seemed like he was the smartest guy in the book, and he was a good guy. It turns out he's ultimately responsible for the death of millions of people and pins it on another good guy, Dr. Manhattan, who he makes look like the bad guy, and goes on being like...
Well, in the movie, he pins it on Dr. Manhattan.
Well, he sort of does in the book, too.
In the book, it's the space squid, isn't it?
Yeah, but he kind of blames it all on Doc Manhattan and stuff.
Oh, all right.
He definitely masquerades as the good guy, and when the book ends, everybody still thinks he's the good guy. He's not a good guy. He is a very, very bad guy, and I thought it was so cool when I read it.
Okay.
What's your favorite?
You know, I can't help it. Even though it was a total gimmick, and... it was born out of like cynical marketing and all that. My favorite hero turned villain, I think, is Hal Jordan.
Seriously? Parallax? Really?
Becoming Parallax, yeah.
Really?
And this is why. I really loved that his whole like about face was born out of grief. It wasn't like he wanted to conquer. It wasn't that he wanted to rule or he didn't want money. He wanted to make things better. Right, things went so wrong, and he wanted to make things better. And so he snaps, and the only thing he can think of to do is keep accumulating power until he can make the world that he thinks that should exist.
Okay.
Plus, Parallax gave us Kyle Rayner and many, many years of great stories with that character, and so I really liked what came out of that story, even though the actual story is not the most convincing. Like, Hal Jordan, they blew up Coast City. Oh, no. Well, luckily, my girlfriend, my best friend, and my brother were all out of town. Yeah. Everyone I loved is still alive.
They're all at the beach.
Yeah, exactly. But I loved the stories that came after that. I really liked that he was the villain in Zero Hour. I know it's not a great story, but I enjoy it. I loved that he got his ultimate redemption in Final Night, where he used all that power he'd accumulated to save the Earth one more time.
Right on.
I thought it was a fun ride with that character. And, you know, we've got him back now, and that's all well and good. But Yeah, I just really enjoyed Hal as a very complex villain, not like a cackling world domination kind of villain or a murderous villain, but sort of a Magneto, you know, somebody that thinks that he's doing the right thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm giving it to Parallax.
Okay. Okay. My least favorite came to me immediately. I did not even have to think about it. It is Roy Harper when he turns back into a bad guy after losing his arm, becoming a drug addict again. Like, it was so stupid. It was so forced and dumb. And it was J.T. Kroll wrote it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that who it was? J.T. Kroll yep. wrote this story where Roy Harper's daughter gets violently murdered. Everybody blames Roy for some reason. They decide it's his fault. And the only thing he can do is turn back to drugs. And they don't even say what they are. It's just like, oh, man, I need drugs. I just need to put drugs in me any way I can.
And I'm sure they explain it a little.
Like, no, they never named anything. It's like he was taking pills and shooting stuff and, like, huffing goofballs or whatever, you know?
He was taking pills, man.
He was ridiculous. And so he loses his arm, gets a bionic arm, and he decides, I'm evil. That's it. I'm full on evil. Like, snaps instantly and goes bad for no reason. Luckily, the whole universe went away shortly after that, but
yeah, it's true.
It was so dumb and such a Arsenal was very much, I would argue, sort of like Marvel's Hawkeye. He was DC's Hawkeye. He was a bad guy, that Green Arrow, not necessarily bad guy, but sort of like street thug, drug addict that Green Arrow helped, rehabilitated, turned into a hero. Taught him to shoot a bow and arrow. He was really good at it. He got really good at shooting all kinds of stuff, and he was a great hero. I love Roy Harper. He was one of my favorites. He was really good friends with Dick Grayson. You know, like, he's just an all-around good guy. And for him to just turn back into a drug-addled serial killer for no reason, or actually for the worst reason you can possibly think of, it was just dumb. Absolutely dumb. I will never forgive J.T. Kroll for that. I hope he hears this.
Oh, that's a great answer. My first instinct was going to be Penance.
That was dumb.
But he wasn't really a villain.
No.
He was a...
He was an anti-hero.
He was a Thunderbolt. Like,
yeah.
So I'm disqualifying that as an answer. Instead, I'm going to go with Iron Man. And I will tell you specifically what story I'm talking about.
Okay.
In the 90s, it was really common for classic characters to get replaced in some way.
Right.
Happened to Batman, happened to Superman, happened to Green Lantern.
Sure.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Happened to Wonder Woman. It happened to everybody, almost everybody. And Iron Man was not immune.
Did not happen to Wolverine.
That's fair. In the mid-90s... they revealed in a storyline called, I believe it was called The Crossing. It may have also been called Time Slide.
Okay.
It may have been Time Slide : The Crossing.
Okay.
Anyway, they revealed that that Kang or Immortus, one of the versions of Kang, I think it was Immortus.
Okay.
Had been controlling Iron Man for years. Like, subtly influencing him and guiding him in a direction for years and years.
You're not talking about the storyline where the Iron Man armor went and killed Whiplash, right?
I am not.
Okay.
That came much later.
Okay.
This was Tony Stark. And finally, like, the Manchurian Candidate switch was flipped. And Tony bugged out and killed Quicksilver and Crystal's nanny, who was an Inhuman that took care of their daughter. Killed somebody else, like one of the Avengers Mansion support. Oh, no. He killed the female Yellow Jacket, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did he get out of this? How did he not end up in prison or worse?
Great question. He died.
Oh.
At the end of the story, he died and it was replaced by Teenage Tony from an alternate reality.
Oh, yes. I remember this. Little kid Tony.
Yeah, yes. And so going into, like, the Onslaught saga,
yes.
Teen Tony had just taken over that armor. And then right after Heroes Reborn, like, they went to Heroes Reborn, and when they came back, everything was all better.
Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? None of right. that happened. Even though everybody that lived on the Heroes Reborn planet may have been farted out of Franklin Richards' head. They never really, spilled any of that out for us.
The Fantastic Four and the Avengers were real. Everybody else on those planets were fictional creations.
Right.
Tony Stark was himself again, and Kurt Busiek made a couple of half-hearted attempts to explain. To this day, I don't understand how.
Who wrote it? Like the murder story and everything. Who was that?
Good question. Hold on. Bob Harris.
Bob Harris?
Wrote a bunch of it. He was writing Avengers at the time.
Okay.
So I think he's probably primarily responsible.
Bob Harris. I'm kind of shocked.
Iron Man is revealed to have been working for Kang for years. Tony murders a couple of people, dies, and then Team Tony pops up and takes his place. It's stupid.
That sounds pretty dumb.
I don't know. I'm trying to find notes on how Busiek explained it, and I can't figure it out.
Fair enough. I mean, it sounds like they just, he was feeling much better. That's what it sounds like.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But he still remembered it. He kind of remembered these things that happened as though they vaguely happened.
So he came back and remembered murdering people.
I don't know, man.
I totally did that.
Look, if anybody out there remembers the details, we want you to call in and let us know.
I love it.
And we'll do a follow-up.
That'd be great. Yeah, call us in. Yeah. Tell us that story. We would love to hear it. Speaking of which, we need some new callers, guys. We would love to hear from you. I know there's people out there that are listening that have never called this show. We want to hear your answers. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You don't have to rap. You don't have to sing. You can just call in, lay it on us. As long as it's a good answer, we're going to like it. Even if it's a bad answer, we might pretend like we like it.
You should probably be a little ashamed.
Well, I mean, sure, you are an adult on the internet talking about comic books. But I mean, hey, you're not alone, man child. Once again, thanks to everybody that called in. We've got a new question of the week that is up already. Joe Patrick, what is that question?
This question comes courtesy of forum user Vertical Suplex. He wants to know, who is your favorite comic artist that started their career imitating a more well-known artist only to eventually develop their own unique style?
I love it. And I think there's going to be a lot of 90s answers here. So, you're sitting there.
That's a puzzler. You got to give that one some real thought.
Absolutely. You're sitting there, you listen to the show, you never called us. Just do it, man. You too, lady. Just do it, Hit us up. We want to hear from you.
You know what would be great? If Vertical Suplex called in.
That's right. Come on, O'Connor. It's been a while since we heard from you. If that is who Vertical Suplex is, we're pretty sure.
We don't know.
Again, guys, it's your show. Thank you for calling and giving us your answers. We love to hear from you, and it reminds us that there are actual people listening to this, and it's not just Joe and I talking to each other. We will have a new episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast popping up next weekend. Until then, go hit the sites, go hit the forums. Let's hang out. Let's have a good time. Thanks again, everybody. This is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.